You are listening to the She Means Profit podcast with Melissa Houston, CPA, financial strategist for CEOs, and a Forbes.com contributor. She Means Profit is a podcast dedicated to helping small business owners just like you become a master at your finances without confusion so that you can increase your profit and net worth. With over 20 years of experience working with business owners, I'm sharing with you real and actionable advice that will give you the tools to take your financial power back. Let's make some major money moves together. Stephanie Burns is the founder of The Wild Agency, an amplification and visibility agency focused on building the legacy and personal brands of company founders. With a background in brand building, media buying, strategy, and entrepreneurship, Stephanie has wide experience with an eclectic portfolio of industries. With an MBA in marketing, she's also a former contributor to Forbes Women, current contributor to Entrepreneur, and Today. Hey, Stephanie Burns. I am so excited to have you join us on the She Means Profit podcast. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm so glad to be here. I love your podcast and I'm just thrilled to be joining you today.
Well, you have an amazing story that I really think that holds a lot of value, especially when we're talking about the profitability of your business. But before we get into your story, I would love for you to let listeners know what it is that you do and what kind of offers that you put out into the world.
Yeah, sure. I have an agency called The Wild Agency. And basically, we are a visibility and amplification agency helping company founders become thought leaders in their space. So getting more eyeballs on company founders who have a message to get out to the world. They've got something to say. They've probably written a book or they're doing some keynote speaking, but they just really want to become known. And So we use our visibility and amplification techniques using social and speaking and getting on podcasts and content, amplification and syndication press, those kinds of things to get their message out, get their, personal brand out into the world.
Yeah, I love that. And, thought leaders, especially for women, we need way more thought leaders that are women in this world. So, when I think about being a thought leader, there's a lot of things that go into, trying to elevate your authority and your credibility and getting to that thought leadership position. And what I mean by that is a lot of effort goes into social media. And I know a lot of people are trying to get away from that. But on the other hand, the flip side is the argument is you need social media to increase your visibility and to amplify your voice. What are your thoughts on that?
It's kind of a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because social media can be such a time suck for all of us. So while I would say that social media is very important to your visibility, it shouldn't be some place that you are spending enormous amounts of time. We're in a great space and time in our lives where our visibility isn't gatekept by news outlets or radio stations or newspapers or magazines or, things like that. Time before the internet, you did not get authority and credibility as easily as you can now when you create your own social channels. So it's a double-edged sword. We do need it. You do need it, I believe, in building your authority, your credibility, your visibility, getting known. But I don't believe it's someplace that you need to be spending hours and hours upon hours a day, spending your time there, because then we do get your work done. And again, this is one of the reasons why my agency exists, right? We take all of that off of your plate, but it's just one portion of your visibility strategy. It's not all of it. There's being on podcasts like this one, there's writing, there's contributing to publications like you and I do. There's so much to your visibility strategy. But I think that underlying foundation of it really is social. And we have that really wonderful opportunity in this time in our lives where you don't have to be on the front cover of, a major magazine in order to be, known as a huge influence in your industry. So I do believe you need to be there. I don't believe you need to spend all of your time there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I guess like in everything else in life, it really is all about balance. So let's talk about the PR aspect of increasing your authority and visibility as well, because you and I both know how important that can be for a thought leader. As you mentioned, you know, we are contributors. If I've wanted to elevate, well, okay, let's just say not me, like say I'm just, you know, Sally, and I've come into, you know, I'm working on a business and I want to elevate my presence as a thought leader, what type of strategy would you recommend using?
For PR.
And the reason why I use Sally as an example is because I think, you know, the fact that I've already got a column and stuff like that, I'm kind of ahead of the game as instead of Sally. So yeah. I want to help listeners, you know, just think about how valuable it is to become a thought leader and get that positioning correct.
Yeah. So the first thing I would say, if you're a person who's just starting to try and amplify your personal brand, is to start putting your work out where the people are. I think a big mistake that a lot of people make is solely focusing all of their content and all of their thoughts on their website or an asset that they own. Now, that's not to say that you don't need to build that up and that you don't need to build up assets that you own. But when you're just starting out, you're not having millions of people going to your website every day. But guess who is? Medium, LinkedIn Pulse, you know, some of these other places that you can be putting your work out where actually people are going to be able to see it. Now, should you pull some parts out of that and put it on your website, try and get some SEO, those kinds of things? Absolutely. But that is a long tail game. If you want to get your authority up, if you want people to start knowing your name and recognizing you, start using these platforms where you know a lot of people congregate. That's the first thing that I would do. In terms of PR, always try to go local first. If you haven't done a lot of PR before, if you haven't been on radio, you know, shows, if you haven't been on TV shows or publications or media outlets, go local first. Get your feet wet. Try and figure out, you know, your sound bites, how you look on stage. You go for your local TV, and the first time you do it, you're going to look at it and think probably like you might look like a ghost unless they have a professional makeup artist there. You know, so then you know like what colors to wear, how to do your makeup and your hair, even if you're a man, how to do your makeup for TV. So all of these learning things and local media can get you ready for big, big media. But yes, media and PR is very, very important for your visibility.
And it's so true that practice really, you know, improves the game, right? Like we all look back at our first pieces of content and stuff and we're like cringeworthy. But I love how you also mentioned that you're building an asset. And this is part of the reason why it was so important for me to get you on this show was because I wanted to talk to you about your experience with your previous company called Chic CEO. And you have quite a story to share. And the reason why I find this story so important for you to share is because when it comes to building your asset, which is your business, that's a financial asset, how important it is to take measures to protect it. So let's start off talking a little bit about what happened to you.
Sure. So Chic CEO was an online web resource for female entrepreneurs. It was a website that gave all of the ground level information that women needed to get a business started. With that, my partner and I started women's only networking events. And we had them in San Diego, LA, Portland, and New York. And they were really great. We did them every month. And before we started them, I had contacted an attorney and asked, can we do female only networking events? And she said, yeah, they're private events. You can invite whoever you want. And I thought, okay, great. Well, that wasn't the case, like at all. So I got some bad legal advice. I actually did get legal advice. I got bad legal advice. And that is not the case. If you charge a dollar for something, you cannot turn anybody away based upon their age, gender, size, anything. So what happened is there was a group of men in San Diego who target female-owned and female-focused businesses and slapped them with these lawsuits for being women only. They tried to come to my event. I turned them away because I didn't invite them. And they sued me. So it was a really, really scary time for me and my business. We weren't in a profitable place to where we could fight them. And it took a year and I ended up having to settle. But what came out of that, the big learnings for me, for my next business, was I didn't have an insurance policy in place. Mm-hmm. I didn't have legal in place. And I certainly do now, but at the time when I was first starting out, I thought, okay, that's something for later on down the line. That's something that I'll do when, you know, we've got more money or we've got, you know, more assets. Yes. Or whatever, whatever. And so when it happened, you know, here I was stuck with this problem with virtually no support around me. I did not have proper legal. I did not have proper insurance. And that's the biggest mistake that I made, that I wasn't properly protected. You know, it was my very first business, my first real business. And I didn't think it was time, which was a rookie move.
Yeah. And I really appreciate you sharing this story. And the reason why I want to shine a light on it so badly is because I would say 99.9% of the clients that I see forego the business insurance and the legal structure because they want to save money. They think that that money is better served elsewhere, you know, like bringing in revenue and stuff like that. But they're not thinking about how it's already an asset, a financial asset that you need to protect. It's your income generator. It's holding value. Like we were talking earlier before we started recording, was there was value in your email list, right? So like you're building all sorts of different financial assets within that larger financial asset. So you do need to protect it. It's like buying a home and not getting house insurance to cover it in case of a fire or whatever. We always love to believe that these things won't happen to us. And then when they happen to us, we kick ourselves for not, or as you put, make those rookie mistakes, right? Which, you know, you can call it rookie mistake, call it whatever you want. But I would say the majority of people practice the same philosophy that you had practiced. So it's a terrible way to learn.
It is a terrible, very terrible way to learn.
Yeah.
You're right. And I didn't realize that, well, first of all, I was incorporated. So I thought, okay, well, they can't pierce the corporate veil, right? They can't touch me until they added me privately to they added my personal name to the lawsuit. So that didn't protect me at all. Unfortunately, they added me to the lawsuit because I told them, I was like, I'll bankrupt this company today before I pay you guys out. You're simply just preying on, you know,
small businesses
and the 13 other women that you've done this to up to me and the countless ones after me. But they added me personally to the lawsuit. And that's when I was like, okay, I've got to settle with them. But up until that point, you know, I started to get some advice and I started to talk to some attorneys, and I talked to this attorney out of Las Vegas who specializes in helping online entrepreneurs protect their digital assets. So at the time, my email list was up to about 120,000 people.
Wow,
it's huge. And if you were to put a value on that, I believe the last time I heard a value, it was like 50,000 person list was valuated at like $1 million or something like that.
No way, that's huge.
Yeah. So you have to check the numbers on that. Everybody's listening. But back then, I think that's what it was. And so technically, my list is valued at $2 million, right? So I'm freaking out because that's huge. And if I were to bankrupt the company, that's an asset that I'm not allowed to use again. That's gone with everything else of value in the company. Wow. And so that would be gone. And that was something that we had spent years building, absolute years, and everything hinged on that. And this guy gave me some interesting legal tips, you know, like set up a separate LLC to hold all those business assets and then lease it to this LLC. And that way, if, you know, somebody sues you, then that LLC falls and this, you know, the lease gets revoked. And he had all these crazy ways to mitigate some of that stuff. But at the time, that was too little too late. But if I just had, you know, and I did have an attorney who took on my case, but it would have been nice to have full legal that was watching what I was doing and saying, okay, listen, you can't do this. There are people out here who are waiting for somebody to say women only event. This is, you know, there's this act in California that says you can't hold women only events, you know, those kinds of things. Or even an insurance policy that said, okay, I can settle with you and the insurance policy pays it out and I don't have to take it out of my personal savings and completely shut down my business.
Exactly.
So, you know, and my insurance policy now, it's like $100 a month. But
yeah, I mean, it's not a huge expense and it's worth it in the end, right? Should you need it. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, I really appreciate you sharing this story because I believe, you know, when people listen to this story, it's going to help them understand the importance of insurance and covering your legally covering your financial assets and such. So, like I said, I really appreciate you sharing this. Mm-hmm. Now, lessons learned. Do you have any lessons that you want to pass along to listeners?
Yeah. You know, I would just say that it's so much cheaper than you think it is to get protected. Like I said, my insurance policy is like $100 a month, big deal. You know, I have a subscription to a legal service for entrepreneurs so that I pay that every month. It's very low cost.
What legal service is that?
I'm using Legal Shield right now.
Yeah, I've heard about those legal services, but I actually, because I'm in Canada, it wouldn't really apply to me, but they sound like really great resources.
They are. I always thought they were kind of ridiculous before I did this, but now they've got a small business package. And if, you know, if I have contracts, I just send them that contract and they're, you know, the attorney that they choose for me is about half an hour away. I send them my contracts. They review it for me or anything else that I need. And then if it's, you know, if they have to ever go to litigation, they've got so many hours. But then, you know, there's stuff above and beyond that. Like my husband went to that, we went to the same place to get our trust done. You know, we have a trust now and those kinds of things. All of our assets are in trust and we have them do it. So, you know, as long as I know that I can just send somebody back and forth my contracts, that I can just call them up and ask them questions, that I'm not getting charged $400 a month or an hour to do that, having to pay in the $40 or whatever it is, I don't even know anymore, I don't care. It's on autopilot and I'll never let it go. Having been through what I've been through, that $40 a month would have been to the moment for me just to even talk to somebody and ask them, what the hell am I looking at? What did I just get served with these papers?
Yeah.
You know? And luckily I'd built up a network that I had attorney friends that I had one guy from college who was so sweet, who sat on the phone with me for about 5 hours and went through my entire complaint, the entire complaint with me and explained it all to me.
Oh, wow. You know? That's amazing.
Yeah. So I was lucky in my network, but, you know, it would have been nice to feel like I had a team.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a great resource for people to check out as well. So my apologies. I know I did cut you off when we were talking about, like, you know, lessons learned. So we've covered, you know, having the business insurance and having legal protection. Is there anything else that you would advise to listeners?
You know, I think to remember that even if you're just starting out, that what you just said is so correct, that you really are building a financial asset in building a business, and you should take as many precautions as you can, all the way up to, and it's something that I've always recommended, is to assemble an advisory board for yourself. Mm-hmm. There is no time when you should not have one. Set one up in the very beginning of your business. Have a set of advisors, ask them questions. You would not believe how many successful people would want to be an advisor for you. When we had Chic CEO, we reached out to Fran Meyer, the co-founder of Match.com, and asked her to be one of our advisors. And she said, yes. Wow. And so unbelievable. So, you know, we were able to ask her so many questions and talk to her about so much that was happening with the business and, you know, a few other advisors. So get yourself a set of an advisory board, like ASAP. Stuff like this comes up. You know, if I had assembled that ahead of time, one of them probably would have said, hey, did you hear about this thing? Did you know that this? So get yourself an advisory board too. And don't feel like you have to go through this alone, but really remember that this is a financial asset. and needs to be treated and protected as such, even if you feel like it's a small little thing, because it's not.
It's not. It's your life, livelihood. I mean, I love the fact that you mentioned also that you were an LLC and they found a way around it. So
I was a C Corp.
C Corp, okay.
I was a C Corp. And in the United States, you can't pierce the corporate veil, meaning I am protected as a person until they added me personally later to the law state, which I didn't know you could do after, certainly. So, you know, that didn't protect me at all.
Yeah.
Then they were after my personal assets.
Well, I really appreciate, again, that you shared this story. So I know people are going to want to reach out to you for thought leadership guidance and advice and what have you. So how can people get a hold of you?
Well, they can email me or they can go to my website, stephanie-burns.com or s@stephanie-burns.com to send me a note.
Awesome. And we will leave that link in the show notes. And any final words for us, Steph? My friend who I adore.
I love your podcast. I love what you're doing. And I'm so glad you're bringing this to women. And thank you for letting me share my story, because a lot of people want to hear about the lawsuit. They're upset that I was sued by men's rights activists. And,
absolutely. And
so, but
it's outrageous.
I think you're the first person who's really asked me, like, how did this affect you having a financial asset? So I'm just glad that we got to talk about that portion of it, because I think it's really important.
Really important. And we are all about not only just making profit here, but keeping the profit, keeping our financial assets in shape so that we have financial stability in our future, well, present and future. So thanks again, Steph, and I appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
Thank you for joining us on the She Means Profit podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, I ask you to hit subscribe, rate the podcast, and leave a review. You can find us on Instagram and LinkedIn at Melissa Houston CPA, and join us in our She Means Profit Facebook group.